out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 28th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, let's get back into the news again for today's episode. For those of you who haven't listened to the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about ways to cope with the New World Order, which hasn't really included a lot of current events, and obviously this program really does mainly deal with current events of interest to nationalists. And I've got a couple of good news stories today. The first one is about the immigrants that claim to be children when they're not, and what happens to them. We've had quite a few news stories like this. I mean, it is a very, very high percentage of those claiming to be children that aren't actually children. And still the left are making a big fuss about it and saying that we don't dare test their teeth because that's so invasive and traumatic for the poor dears to have a visit to the dentist just to check their teeth. But because we're not actually doing anything about this, this means that we've got adults from the third world in children's schools. Now, just how dangerous a situation is that when you consider the high propensity for rape that goes on in these third world countries that these men tend to indulge in? Putting one of them in a school full of school children and schoolgirls is a tragedy just waiting to happen. Well, a couple of weeks after the start of this term, pupils at Stoke High School in Ipswich were told that a new boy was joining their GCSE class. At 6'1", he stood head and shoulders over many classmates, while his chin was flecked with stubble. He also boasted a protruding Adam's apple and a hairline that from a certain angle was starting to recede. In the cold light of day, many suspected that he was actually nearer 30 than 20. As soon as he started at the school, we all thought he looked far too old, a girl in his year later recalled. You could see the shadow of his beard on his face. He was wearing glasses, but they did not look like prescription glasses. It was almost as if he had them just to make himself look younger. Everyone was making jokes as we went into registration, saying, "What is a man doing in our school?" Now, this is happening over and over and over again. And when the parents complain about this and say, "We have suspicions that this is an adult that's in our child's school," they get accused of being racist. And they get reported for being racist when the parents pull the children out of the school because they don't want their children to be studying alongside adult Arabs. Why we should feel that we have to take these people in, I don't know. They are not our responsibility. People that come to our country from Afghanistan and Iraq or Iran claiming asylum is quite clearly a scam. There are dozens of countries on the way from the Middle East to Britain that are not at war. And they're supposed to be claiming asylum in the first country that they come to. And they're clearly not. They're clearly just trying to get to Britain because they know that they will get the highest amount of benefits in Britain. They know that if they claim to be children, that then Britain will automatically let them in. So they throw all their documents away and then lie and say that they are children just in the hopes that it might work. And thanks to these idiot liberals, it does work a lot of the time. How can a man that looks like he's 30 years old pass the tests and get away with saying that he's 15? Quite clearly, the people that are doing these tests have got no concern for the white children that these Arab adults are going to be put among in the school. They've got no concern for the foster families that will be looking after them. All they are concerned about is these is filling the country up with foreigners. They are so self-hating. They hate white people so much they will just do anything to harm us. That's how it seems to me. According to playground gossip, Shivash, that was the immigrant's name, even confided to one contemporary that he was a married father of two who had decided to pose as a teenager because his academic qualifications weren't recognised in the UK. So he just thought that he'd be able to get free lessons and free qualifications off the back of the UK, and we fell for it. The parent of a GCSE pupil was told the Iranian had confessed to being in his mid-20s. My son asked him how old he was, and he replied that he was aged 25 and married with two kids, she told the Daily Mail. This being 2018, the rumours soon hit social media. Around the time of half-term, an image of Shivash in a Year 11 classroom appeared on Snapchat, a networking app popular with teenagers, accompanied by the caption, "How is there a 30-year-old man in our maths class?" Well, the reason there's a 30-year-old man in your maths class is because we have traitors in power. Traitors that are just allowing anybody to come into our country and go into our schoolrooms. They're putting all the children of Britain at risk by doing this. Around the same time, parents began asking awkward questions, taking an understandably dim view of the potential presence of a grown man being educated alongside their children. "So my son's school now lets in 30-year-old men," wrote a woman calling herself Holiday Inn on Facebook. "That's some huge security breach. Apparently he sits on a bench at break times, close to where a group of girls hang out, just looking." Now, I'm sure most of our listeners are aware of the way that these Middle Eastern men like to lech at our women, staring at them, undressing them with their eyes. And the only time that they're used to seeing white women before is in pornography, unfortunately, where that has been exported to their countries. So whenever they look at white women, that's what they're seeing. That's what this 30-year-old Arab is seeing when he looks at these school children, schoolgirls, on the bench next to him. That's what he's thinking of. Desmond Newby, a 51-year-old father of two Stoke High pupils, was one of several reported to have removed their children from the school. "In one of the pictures I've seen of him, he has more of a beard than I do. I don't want my kids there any longer until he is out." A third parent observed, "It's not a nice thought that this man is around children and sitting with them at lunch." Now, I dare say if the kids said that they didn't want to sit next to him, they would be accused of being racist. They would be accused of being mean to the poor refugee. Some of these parents were accused of being racist for raising concerns about it. And if you look at the actual pictures of the guy, I mean, he's quite obviously in his 30s, big thick beard that he has. Eventually, the school passed on concerns about his age to the Home Office. On November the 2nd, the day Shivash was due to sit a mock maths exam, it emerged that both he and his younger brother had been pulled out of Stoke High, pending a full investigation. The case immediately began to make headlines, with parents and politicians quick to raise concerns that the safety of potentially impressionable children had been seriously compromised. I don't think the worry is that they're going to have some kind of impression made on them by this Arab. I think the concern is rather that he was trying to molest the children. He started FaceTiming my friend using an online video link, sending her messages, asking how close she lived to the school, said one GCSE student. She was a bit concerned because he seemed so old. He kept messaging her during the night, and in the morning he texted her saying, "Hello, how are you?" She told the maths teacher and was taken to the safeguarding teacher, who looked at the messages and said there was nothing sinister about them. Nothing sinister about a 30-year-old Arab texting a 15-year-old schoolgirl in the morning and asking her how close she lived to the school. Nothing sinister or suspicious about that. Once again, this is because he has his brown privilege, so they can't question what he's doing because that would be racist. Serious questions were also raised about the school's handling of the case, amidst claims that complaints about Shivash had been blithely dismissed by staff, who in some cases had even claimed the objections were motivated by racism. So this wasn't the only concern. This wasn't the only girl that went there and said this adult has been behaving inappropriately. There were other girls that went in there and said that as well, and there were parents that went in. "I went in to complain, but I was fobbed off. They are deluded and seem to be more worried about how the bloke might feel," said a father of two girls from Stoke High. "I'm not aware of this lad having done anything inappropriate, but it is clearly wrong that he would be in a class with children." Clearly wrong. And this is going on all over Europe. Particularly, there have been a lot of stories in Finland of this going on. And in Sweden, there's a dentist in Sweden that when they brought these so-called children to the dentist, he realized that they were adults. He realized that they were all over the age of 25. So he notified the authorities and he was struck off for notifying the authorities. And he's now in a big legal battle trying to sue them for striking him off and preventing him from being a dentist. They said that it was patient confidentiality. They're punishing him for pointing out that these are adults. These are adults that are being placed in schools of children. Of course, we always advocate that listeners to Radio Aryan homeschool their children, because if they are sent into school, not only are they at risk of something like this happening, but they're just going to be brainwashed with political correctness and the diversity agenda. They're not going to get the same schooling that they would get in a private school, where they will study the classics, they will learn Latin, they will learn things that you need to learn about our history and our heritage in order to get on in society. They will just be brainwashed about how we are all equal, how there's no difference between the genders, how homosexual sex is fun and how people should be experimenting with that. All sorts of nonsense goes on in these schools that if we still have the legal right to homeschool our children, then that is what any nationalist should be doing that cares about their children. I think even if you're not that bright, I think you're still going to be doing a better job of it than the teachers at these schools. And also the children then are not going to be coming into contact with dangers like this, like an adult Arab that they're not allowed to criticize or raise concerns about without being accused of being racist. The bizarre episode leaves the school, the Home Office and other safeguarding authorities with some serious questions to answer. It also serves to highlight the seemingly routine abuse of laws which are designed to safeguard vulnerable refugees, but in reality provide a gaping loophole for fraudsters to exploit. There should be no vulnerable refugees in Britain. If they are going to the first safe country, there should be no refugees in Britain. there shouldn't be any here at all. And to claim that children have managed to make their way all the way over from Iran or Iraq or Africa all the way to Britain on their own is a nonsense. They haven't done. They've come over with adults, or they are themselves adults. Most of the time they are adults. I think, 80% it says here. Britain's system, under which around 3,000 unaccompanied youngsters, around 80% of whom are male, claim asylum each year, came under intense scrutiny in 2016 when a busload of alleged teenagers arrived in Croydon after being transferred to the UK from Calais. Well, it says here that 80% of them are male. I do believe it's around 80% of the ones that were tested that actually turned out to be over the age of 20. I do remember doing a Daily Nationalist on a similar subject a couple of weeks back, where I got the report from Breitbart, and that said that 80% of those tested turned out to be fully grown adults, certainly not children. By claiming to be children, the new arrivals were entitled not just to free education, but also to places in local authority children's homes. In areas with high migrant populations, such as Kent, up to half the places in such homes are taken by unaccompanied asylum seekers. Well, what about the white children that need homes? All their places have been taken over by foreigners from countries over on the other side of the world that have their own state to look after them. They have their own government that should be looking after them. They are their responsibility. They are not our responsibility. It is our responsibility to take care of our own people, the same as it is the individual's responsibility to take care of himself. We all have to go out to work to provide for ourselves, or we have to find some way of providing for a roof over our heads and for our families. We don't expect other people to do it all for us. And that's what these immigrants are doing. They are demanding that other people do everything for them. And we're being told that we should be doing this. We should be ignoring our own needs and doing everything that another person's government should be doing for them. And nationalism is about looking out for your nation. If everyone in the world was a nationalist, it would be an absolutely perfect place, because everybody would be doing the best that they possibly could for their own nation. And what we've got now is we've got most of the world are doing what's best for themselves and for their nation. And then we've got white people who are being told, oh no, that's completely wrong. If you're doing what's best for your nation, that means you're a racist, and it means you must hate all the other races and all the other nations, which is an absolute nonsense. And we're being told that we should be putting the needs of these foreigners above our own needs. And if we're not taking care of our own needs first, nobody else is going to. These other races certainly aren't. They're not going to be thanking us. In actual fact, when we do accept them into our countries, if they're not carrying out crimes against us, if they're not raping young white girls or trying to blow themselves up or robbing or mugging or selling drugs, then they're claiming that we're racist to them. They're claiming that it's because we're racist to them that they haven't got work. Not the fact that they don't actually have any qualifications, because they've all got an average IQ that's under about 85. So they have never yet been grateful to us for what we have done. And they wouldn't be accepting in white people into their countries. Where are the non-white countries that are accepting in the white South African refugees that are facing genocide in South Africa right now? There are no non-white countries offering to take them in. The only country that's offered to take them in is Russia. All of this is evidence of the fact that our countries are under occupation, under a foreign occupation that puts the needs of foreigners first before the needs of the indigenous people. And the craziest thing is when Jews stand up, who are at the forefront of calling for more immigration and calling for asylum seekers to be allowed in. The craziest thing is that the Jews, who we let in during the war when they were fearful of the way that the National Socialists would treat them, we let them into our countries in Britain. And instead of being grateful for that and trying to deter asylum seekers from coming into our country, their loyalty isn't to us. They're not grateful to us for that. They demand that we should let in all these other so-called asylum seekers from the Third World, even when they know that a lot of the Muslim ones aren't going to be too friendly to the Jews. They will even take a hit themselves just so long as they can get a hit in against us, against white Christians. That is the craziest thing of all. You would think that the Jews' loyalty would be to the British people, not to foreigners that they have never met before, that they know are going to cause trouble in Britain. And the proof that they know this is that they won't allow any into Israel. They won't allow any into their own country. They will only advocate for them to be allowed to come into ours. Continuing with this, critics have long pointed out that these rules also create an incentive for adult migrants to simply destroy their ID papers and pose as vulnerable children. Indeed, several of the young men who disembarked from the coaches in Croydon appeared to be square-jawed men in their 20s or their 30s. Photos of them duly made the front pages. A backbench Tory MP, David Davies, then fueled the controversy by first claiming that the new arrivals don't look like children to me, and then sparking outrage on the political left by calling for unaccompanied child refugees to be given dental examinations to confirm their true age. Such a procedure had, he pointed out, recently been introduced in Norway, where it was then revealed that 9 out of 10 of those tested were over 18. Yet for suggesting that Britain ought to follow the example of the Scandinavian bastion of liberalism, Davies was likened to Hitler. No surprise there. Anyone that points out any sensible course of action will be likened to Hitler, which I'm sure does make people question whether Hitler was actually such a bad guy after all. If all these people pointing out sensible ideas are going to be called Hitler. Once the controversy in Croydon died down, the Home Office did eventually decide to tighten its procedures, however. Over the following year, it raised 705 age disputes related to unaccompanied child asylum seekers. Of the 618 resolved, 402, or 65% of the claimants, were found to be over 18. And just 216, that's 35%, were actually found to be children. And yet they still allow them into the country, even though they know that two-thirds of them are faking it. Today, the department tells staff that asylum claimants who claim to be minors, yet lack reliable documentary evidence to support their claimed age, must be treated as adults when their appearance and demeanour very strongly suggests that they are significantly over 18. Well, I mean, what that is saying is if they look 25, they can get away with it. If it's got to be only very, very strong evidence and suggest that they are significantly over 18, that's very woolly wording, very ambiguous wording there. It doesn't actually say anything definite. What could mean significantly to one person may not mean significantly to another. Assessments of physical appearance can include indicators such as height, build, facial hair, and voice pitch. When assessing demeanour, officials can take into account observation on the individual's mannerisms, body posture, and eye contact. Crucially, when officers are unsure, the principle of the benefit of the doubt is applied to the asylum seeker. So these officials can just say, well, I wasn't quite sure, so we just let him through anyway. Instead of having the benefit of the doubt being applied to the British people, the indigenous British children that are the ones that are suffering from this going on in their schools. Instead, the benefit of the doubt is going to go to the faker, the fraud, the asylum-seeking fraud. He's the one that gets the benefit. Earlier this year, a watchdog report revealed some local authorities had raised concerns that the benefit of the doubt policy was being applied too readily. Well, that much was certainly true when they decided Shivas was just 15 years old. And plenty of parents will now be wondering just how many other British schoolchildren are sharing their classrooms with grown adults. And what I wonder is just how long it's going to be before we hear of one of these grown adults raping the schoolchildren that they've been put among. Anyway, let's have a positive story to finish today's programme off. French President Emmanuel Macron has broken a new record, becoming the most unpopular French president in history at this stage of his presidential term, according to recent polls, which have also seen his populist rival Marine Le Pen rise in popularity. President Macron's approval rating now registers at a mere 26%, according to figures by pollsters BVA, who compared his current polling numbers to former presidents during the same era of their terms as leaders of France. Macron now polls even lower among the French than his predecessor, former President François Hollande, who eventually left office in 2017 with an approval rating in the single digits. The current French leader's popularity is even starker when compared to the last conservative French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, who enjoyed an approval of nearly 1 in 2 French voters. As Macron's popularity has faded, the approval ratings of populist Rassemblement National leader Marine Le Pen, seen as Macron's main political rival by many, has seen a dramatic increase. The BVA poll now sees Le Pen beating Macron with 27% to his 26% approval. So Marine Le Pen is right in the front of the poll. She is the most popular politician in France. But don't get our hopes up too much, because I think she was the most popular politician back when they had the presidential election. But of course, what they did, they dropped out of the running the contenders so that more people could vote for Macron. This is the way what the left does. Whenever you get a populist or a popular nationalist politician that is actually doing well, what you will see is you will see the left and the right parties colluding together to ensure that the nationalist doesn't have a chance of winning. So what they will do is they will say the right-hand party will actually stand down their MP, or who they would like to be winning as MP. They would actually stand down their candidate so that all the people that would have voted for him will then vote for the left candidate. So And by doing so, they prevent the nationalist candidate from actually winning. This is why it's such an amazing thing that nationalists have managed to win in Italy, purely because of this. And this is what cheated Marine Le Pen from actually winning the presidency in the most recent election. The unpopularity of President Macron has been one of the central focuses of the Yellow Vests movement against the rise of taxes on fuel, which has seen protests across the country on the 17th and the 24th of November. The protests, which have seen over 100,000 people participate, blocked entrances and exits on major motorways, and over the weekend blockaded much of central Paris. While the movement has been largely peaceful, it has not been without several incidents of violence, including the death of a protester in the eastern Savoy region during the first protest, who was killed by the driver of a car that sped into a group of Yellow Vest movement members. Now, just contrast that with the Unite the Right rally last year at Charlottesville, when the Antifa were rioting and attacking nationalists after a state of emergency had been declared, and James Fields Jr., who is having his trial right at this very moment, James Fields Jr.'s car was attacked by the Antifa. One of them smashed his back headlight out, and at that instance, what it looks like is that the driver of the car panicked, sped forwards, maybe hit the wrong pedal, sped forwards, hit people, panicked, and reversed back out of the way. Now, that was portrayed as terrorism instantly. He was judged as it must have been deliberate. He must have been a terrorist. And ever since then, we've been hearing about the deadly Unite the Right rally. Are we hearing about the deadly yellow vest protest in France at the moment? No, we're not. And this has been reported as this was just a tragic accident. The driver drove forward and sped into a group of protesters. Yet it is essentially exactly the same thing, only the Unite the Right rally was a nationalist that was driving. And the poor guy, that was his first nationalist protest that he'd ever been to. He wasn't really known by anybody, and this tragic accident happened, and ever since then he's been in a solitary dungeon in Charlottesville, where not even any of the other nationalists that were jailed have been able to talk to him. I mean, this guy really does need our prayers, because it really does look like this was just an accident and he's being accused of terrorism and murder. But I guess we will find out what happens, what really happened during the court case, and it is on now. So please do pray for James Fields Jr. I really do feel that the guy is innocent. I mean, why would you just run a load of protesters? You wouldn't. I mean, it's just a crazy idea. The fact that his car was attacked shows you that he must have panicked. I mean, what else? How he must have panicked and hit the wrong pedal and went forward. We know that when the car stopped and the police got out, well, when he got out, he asked if everybody was okay. And when he was told that somebody had died, he burst into tears. This wasn't somebody that was trying to carry out a terrorist act. This was a tragic accident. And I really hope that justice prevails in that court case. But it's going to be hard because he's in Charlottesville. And from what we've seen of the other court cases that happened there, the Charlottesville people on the jury are not going to be paying much attention to evidence. They just want blood. They're like a lynch mob. Anyway, getting back to this, the Yellow Vests protest. In Paris, movement members clashed with police along the Champs-Élysées with Miss Le Pen, among others, claiming that far-left activists had infiltrated the movement in order to fight with police. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. Nationalists don't want to fight. We want to avoid violence. The left constantly uses violence to try and get their way. And that's what seems what's going on with this yellow vest movement. Madame Le Pen, Marine Le Pen, has been a vocal supporter of the yellow vests, whose movement has been described by leading French political scientists as a real grassroots populist movement. Prominent French political scientist Jean-Yves Camus commented on the movement, saying, "This is the first time we're seeing a mobilization that's coming from the social networks and is not led by the political parties or the unions." And he added, "This is really a populist type movement, and it's an extremely strong protest against elite France." Well, that is very good news if that is true, and that is a proper grassroots movement. The movement has also seen the support of the vast majority of French, with a poll taken by Odoxa finding that around 77% of the country supported the movement. So we've got two good things here. We've got a natural grassroots movement that has masses of support from the French, and we've also got President Macron plummeting in the polls, losing his support, and all the people that voted for him realizing that they were lied to by this globalist puppet. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. And of course, I will be joined by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, and we will be live. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.